We are starting a new series of messages about the prophets of the Bible, not P-R-O-F-I-T-S. There are prophets in doing God's will. It turns out to be a blessing for us to walk in his ways, but the prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, and it's surprising how much is said about the prophets. We're going to take a look today, and this is going to be a little bit of an overview of the prophets, and then in the weeks ahead, we're going to try to take a look specifically at some of the prophets and their messages, and the circumstances that brought those messages forward. It's interesting, when you read through your Bibles, you realize that the folks in those times that the Bible was written to had some of the same issues that we have, don't they? And I found that human nature just doesn't change a whole lot, you know. We are often reminded of that. Let's begin today our first passage, and I will just give you a little heads up. We're going to look at a lot of verses, and we're going to be jumping around today rather than just being in one chapter. But we want to take an overview of the role of the prophets, what they were doing, where their authority came from, and there's quite a bit. I encourage you, if you haven't read through, have been reading through and just amazed at the stories and the messages, the lessons that come out of the passages. Let's do this. Let's read verses 16 through 21, 1 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll pray and then get started here. Peter's writing, and he says this: "For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, 'This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy.' We ourselves heard that voice from heaven and when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the" who? By the prophets, okay? "You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. And Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God." So that Peter's laying out those prophets that spoke regarding specifically Christ, but a whole bunch of other stuff, God moved them to speak. And we'll take a closer look at that. Well, let's bow our heads and let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful day, for eyes to behold it, for the ability to enjoy and, Lord, to take in how blessed we are. Thank you for our very existence, for our lives, Lord. And we, as we gather, Lord, we have lifted up our voices to thank you, to praise you. And Lord, help us now as we open your word to be instructed from your word. And Lord, please help each of us to take it to heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The prophet was someone who was used by God to communicate his message to people. That's simply what a prophet is. The word prophet comes from two words. The prefix pro, which means before or in place of, and phemi, which means to speak. It kind of almost sounds along the lines of proclaiming, to speak forth. And the Old Testament described prophets in a number of different ways. One was the messenger of God, and that makes sense. God is giving him a message or her a message, and they are to proclaim it, to speak in the place of God. Another passage speaks about a prophet being a seer, S-E-E-R. We're going to look at that, 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 9. I'll ask Robert if he'd bring that verse up. A description of a prophet of God, and this is One regarding Samuel and the historical setting is Saul was out looking for some animals that had gone astray, and they said, let's go ask the seer. Let's look at verse 9. He and a companion said this, the servant said, I have one small silver piece. We can at least offer it to the man of God and see what happens. In those days, if people wanted a message from God, they would say, let's go and ask the seer. For prophets used to be called seers. And that description, a seer, is one who could see, spiritually speaking, as God gave insight. There's another passage that speaks about the prophet's role and as a watchman of God. And let's go to the book of Hosea, chapter 9 and verse 8, and speaks about the prophet, a watchman. Verse 8 here of Hosea 9 says, the prophet is a watchman over Israel for my God, yet traps are laid for him wherever he goes. He faces hostility even in the house of God. And, you know, as a verse that said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And that was used in the New Testament. And prophets, as you read about them, come from many different backgrounds, and they spoke to different audiences. They possessed their own styles and methods. Sometimes they had a very unique experience. How many of you know about Elijah, the man of God? Elijah the Tishbite, and it says he was dressed in animal skins with a leather belt around his waist, and he'd show up like a meteor falling out of the sky. He would scare the kings of Israel and Judah half to death. He was a scary dude. I don't know what he looked like, but we know that he put the fear of God in people, Elijah. The prophet Ezekiel was told to shave his head and his beard and to burn the whiskers and the hair to show the people of God as an illustration what God was going to do to their treasured city, Jerusalem. That's in Ezekiel chapter 5. I want to read these verses. I realized that I couldn't read all of the backgrounds for some of these folks, but I wanted to read a few and for us to look at a few for you to know that God used these prophets in many different ways. And there's a lesson in that. And there's a lesson that that we shouldn't miss, and that is we're all different. And God doesn't use us all the same way. And that we see right from the Old Testament on through to the New Testament. Let me read these verses, Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Son of man, take a sharp sword and use it as a razor to shave your head and beard. So I was reading this week in my mind, picture what that must have looked like. Use a scale to weigh the hair into three equal parts and place a third of it at the center of your map of Jerusalem. After acting out the siege, burn it there. Now, acting out the siege, what in the world must it probably look like our two boys playing Ninja Turtles when they were kids? He was to act out this picture for the people. Scatter another third across your map and chop it with a sword. Scatter the last third to the wind, for I will scatter my people with the sword. Keep just a bit of the hair and tie it up in your robe. Then take some of these hairs out and throw them into the fire, burning them up. A fire will spread from this remnant and destroy all Israel. This is what the sovereign Lord says. This is an illustration of what will happen to Jerusalem. I could read on. Another prophet by the name of Jeremiah was instructed not to marry, not to have any children, and if he showed up at a funeral, not to mourn as a symbol to the nation. Hosea was told to marry, but he was told to marry a prostitute, and that he did, Gomer. And he was told that that woman would be unfaithful to him and leave his home, but he was to go out and get her and bring her back, and in fact pay to buy her off the slave market. And that's exactly what happened. You can find that in the book of Hosea, but that was a picture to God's people of their unfaithfulness to their God who had delivered them from bondage. So God used the prophets' lives and their experiences to deliver his word. They served as messengers conveying the divine word that they had received, not their own opinions. Most of the Old Testament's prophets, prophecies or messages were directed to the people of Israel and Judah, to God's own people. But as you read through, you realize that these prophets would also declare God's message to surrounding nations, often as a result of their interaction with the people of God. And there was a lot of warfare in that time. And God's people, as they are today, were surrounded by those who wanted to run them off the land and into extinction. And so most of the prophets that we read about were men, but the Old Testament mentions prophetesses by the name of Miriam, Deborah, she was also a judge of Israel, and another one by the name of Huldah. And you can read about these in the book of 2 Kings and the book of Judges. I was thinking about another verse, and I'm going to ask Robert to pull it up. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. There, when Peter preached at Pentecost, he was telling them, God is going to be doing something in our midst. And he did there in Pentecost in Jerusalem. But here's what he quotes from the book of Joel, the prophet Joel. He says this, "No, what you see today was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will what? Prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." The pouring out of the Spirit of God in Old Testament times is different than when the Holy Spirit came to take up residence in believers' lives. As you read about in the Old Testament accounts, the Holy Spirit would come upon God's people and empower them for the work that they needed to do. It was Moses and his leadership that he developed. It was judges. It was priest, and you read about even warriors, the Spirit of God came upon them. And so we realize that God will speak through men and women. It's not a guy's only game. All right. Now, there were some common characteristics to these prophets as we look at them. First of all, they were chosen by God. Isaiah, the prophet, and Ezekiel were given visions of God's glory. You can read about that. I'm not going to turn to it today. Isaiah chapter 6 and Ezekiel chapter 1. Jeremiah was picked out by God even before he was born. Let's read about that. The book of Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 5 through 9 of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Let's take a look here and see what it says. "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. And the Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken." Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth, and he told him what to say. And that's Jeremiah. So even before he was born, he was chosen by God. There were others that we read about who received a special revelation from God. And it usually began like this. The Lord gave this message. Let's take a look at a few of those. We're not going to turn to all of them because there's a bunch. The book of Hosea, chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's turn to Hosea 1. Verse 1. You guys are looking it up there on the screen. You got there faster than I did. Hosea 1 and verse 1. Let's read here what it says. "The Lord gave this message to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the years when I'm not going to even bother going through all. Those are some folks, some kings there, kings of Judah." All right, you can read the same thing in Joel. You can read the same thing in Jonah, in Micah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. The same thing. The Lord gave this message. Now, there's another phrase that's used in the prophets, and that is this. This is the vision that the Lord gave. In Obadiah, we can read about God giving a vision. Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 1. "This is the vision that the sovereign Lord revealed to Obadiah concerning the land of Edom." In the scripture, they counted about 55 different prophets that are named, but there were many, many more. There were what they called a guild or a school of the prophets, in which there were hundreds. We're going to read in a little bit about a king by the name of Ahab who had 400 of his own prophets, 400 of yes men, who we'll take a look at and see what they had to say. Some were termed writing prophets. These are the ones that we find in Scripture, the names of the books I just read about. How many of you are familiar with the major prophets? Anybody know, ever heard that term, the major prophets? You open your Old Testament there, and you'll read about the major prophets, and then you read about the minor prophets. The major prophets are longer books. That's why they're called the major prophets. Their message is not any more important or less important than the minor prophets. It's just how it was described. These guys, they wrote more, and so they're called the major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jeremiah's Lamentation, Ezekiel, and Daniel, all right? The minor prophets, as we said, are shorter, but not any less important. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, all right? If you ever tried to memorize all the books of the Bible, those are the ones that probably gave you the worst fit, huh? You know, there are also non-writing prophets that we read about. A name, Gad. How many of you know about the prophet Nathan? Anybody know about Nathan? Nathan was the prophet. He was actually a court advisor to King David. Highly regarded. And God told Nathan, you're going to tell your boss you're in the wrong, boss. Do you remember when David went out and had an illicit affair with another man's wife, one of his soldiers, and she became pregnant? He wanted to cover it up, called the soldier in from the battlefield, tried to get him to go and hang out at home. The guy wouldn't, camped right there on the doorstep, and boy, David had a problem on his hands. So he told his general, call him up, send him to the heat of the battle. That's what he did. The man's life was taken. And this was known throughout Israel, and it was a shame and a mark on David's name. Nobody evidently was saying a word about it. God said to Nathan, go and tell your boss. And you know, we need to understand, David was a feared warrior. David, you could probably put him in the rank of some of the SEALs and probably some of the military forces that we know or don't even know about. He was that kind of individual. Struck fear in people's in lives. And yet God used him and God loved him, but he made some serious errors in his life. Nathan told him a story and said, you're that guy. You're that guy. And that was the prophet Nathan. Now, you may be very familiar with the prophet's names, Elijah and Elisha. These prophets reminded the people what God had told them. There are many unnamed prophets. I'm not going to read that passage there, but you can read throughout the scripture. There are those that God called up to speak his truth to people, and you never knew a word about them, but they did what they were told to do. So we know this, that prophets were chosen by God. We know that also they were required to deliver God's message accurately. The message that they delivered was inspired. It was God-breathed. And there's a important passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's take a look at that verse. And we're going to go to 2 Peter and read a verse that we already read today. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors. We're going to be looking at some of those ways in the weeks ahead. In many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And in these final days, I'm going to read verse 2 as well. In these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And so we know that. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and read verses 20 and 21 again. We're talking about God's messengers, the prophets. Peter wrote, said, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. So people say, you know, how is it that you accredit authority and veracity and truth to the Scripture? Because we believe that God superintended and was at work even in getting this word we call the Scripture to us. That is the Christian's position, that God's word is God-breathed to us. Now, I know it's been under attack for many, many years, but those who hold to the Christian faith understand that God's word was delivered to mankind. We get to know what God's thinking. And these prophets were not primarily philosophers or men and women of genius, able to come up with things on their own, but they waited on God for insight and information and inspiration. And you know, it's possible that they didn't fully understand the extent of their messages, especially when they spoke regarding future generations. We're going to today take a look at a few passages that were spoken about 700 years before they came to pass. And the prophets in those times were kind of eyeballing situations that they were living in, but God used them and what they had to say to speak to generations out ahead of them, all right? So they waited on God. Now, there are two aspects to prophesying, okay? We tend to think of prophecy in terms of what's going to happen in the future. I'm going to kind of see if I can break it down for you. Prophecy is regarded in two ways. One is forthtelling, and that means just speaking forward what God's delivered, okay? Forthtelling. The other is called foretelling, where you tell something that's going to happen before it happens. I'll give you an example. If I told you today, God told me, which he hasn't, that 500 years from this day, the sun is going to rise in the west and set in the east. And you'd probably say, Bruce, we've got a room for you somewhere. And I might say to you, write it down, store it someplace safe. And if lo and behold, 500 years later, this thing comes to pass and just shakes everybody to their core, you would recognize this person knew something that we didn't know, all right? Foretelling. Now, foretelling, I want to kind of point to a passage of Scripture. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The Apostle Paul was writing to the believers in Corinth. They had some real issues there. It was a very active, dynamic church, but they had some real problems going on. He had to write to them about spiritual gifts and how God uses people. They had elevated a gift, speaking in tongues, above everything else. And they had elevated above love and elevated above hope and above faith. And Paul is writing to correct an imbalance. And he's saying you need to adjust some things here. And he points on something that is very important. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to read verse 1 first and then read verses 3 and 4. You can read the whole chapter. It's very instructive. He says this, let love be your highest goal. By the way, in their attempt to be more spiritual than each other, some claiming I do this for God, I must be more important than the rest of you, they were lacking love. And that's why Paul wrote that whole chapter before it, chapter 13, saying, look, you can do a whole lot of things, but if you don't have love, it's going to waste. It's not going to add up to much. And that's the truth, isn't it? If somebody can do all kinds of great things, even in the spiritual realm, and they have a lot of knowledge, but they don't love, it just doesn't amount to much. So let's read this. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to what? Prophesy. And this would be forthtelling. This is not talking about, okay, I'm going to try to discern here and tell what's going to happen 100 years from now. And I hear of folks, you know, who will prophesy and say, you, Bruce Butler, are going to do this and this and this. And all I can say is, okay, let's wait and see. Let's see how that turns out. If it's from God, it'll happen. If not, you don't have to give it any authority, all right? So he says, especially the ability to prophesy. Let's go to verse 3 and 4. He speaks about tongues and speaking in this ecstatic spiritual prayer with God. But he says this, the one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens what? The entire church. He goes on to say, if you're all busy doing your prayer language with God and somebody who's not a believer walks in, what are they going to say? what they're going to say? These people are crazy. But he says if somebody walks in who is unlearned, doesn't really know about God, they hear you saying what God has already said, their hearts will be touched, and they might come to be reconciled to God or maybe strengthened. That's what he's writing about there. So that is foretelling. And you know, friends, you and I can prophesy. Would you say that I'm prophesying right now? I'm telling you what God has said. Do you know when you leave this place and you sit down to eat lunch, maybe at a restaurant or at home, and you speak about God's truth, you're prophesying, okay? And that's what he's speaking there. And of course, foretelling, we're going to look back now in the Old Testament to Isaiah. There's just a number of passages in our Bibles regarding foretelling. Some even about God's people going into bondage in Egypt. You know, that was foretold in Scripture. But we're going to take a look at a few passages. Isaiah chapter 9. I want to read verse 2 and verse 6. This is the prophet Isaiah, and he's speaking about in the future. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. He goes on to say, you will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. Let's go to verse 6 and read this. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. You can read on. Let's go to chapter 49 of Isaiah and read verses 6 and 7. This is foretelling. This is the prophet receiving a message from God and speaking what's going to happen years ahead. Verse 6 and verse 7 of Isaiah 49. He says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. The Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, says to the one who is despised and rejected by the nations, to the one who is a servant of rulers, kings will stand at attention when you pass by. Princes will also bow low. Because of the Lord, the Faithful One, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Who's that speaking about? That's about Jesus. Yet that was written 6, maybe 7 centuries before Jesus showed up on the scene. Let me read one more prophetic passage here, Isaiah chapter 53. I want to read verses 4 through 6. Speaking about the suffering servant. All right? 4 through 6, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep is silent before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. I could read on and read on. I could tell you about the prophet Micah, who foretold where the Savior, Messiah, would be born. And so those believers, those early followers of Christ, they knew these passages. These were well known. And as I've said before, they connected the dots, and it was further verification that Jesus, who claimed to be Messiah, the Son of God, the suffering servant, they said, that's him. That's why they went out and willingly laid it all on the line, because they believed and they saw. Okay, so that is about foretelling there. So we've been talking here about this. The prophet of God was chosen by God. Secondly, they were to deliver God's message accurately. I want to read here a story and ask you to follow with me. 1 Kings chapter 22. Chapter 22. And we're going to read verses 6 through 18. I wasn't joking, was I, when I said we're going to be looking at a bunch of verses. We got some more. Let's take a look. This is as I read this, I was amazed. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the prophet Micaiah? Not Micah, Micaiah. Micaiah, okay? He's not a very well-known one. I want to read about this guy, Micaiah, this prophet of God, because he says something very, very important in regard to what the prophet was to do. We're going to read the story. Let me set it up a little bit. There was a king over Israel, the northern part of God's people. That was Israel, 10 tribes. In the south, there were two tribes called Judah. They were a very combative lot, okay? You read about in the account that they were ready to go to war with each other. David had the strength and the leading of God to pull those people together, and they expanded the boundaries of the nation. And there was a confederation of those tribes under King David and also Solomon. When Solomon died, it blew apart. Solomon's son just made matters worse, and so they pulled apart. But over the years, they would often join together to fight an enemy. And this was an occasion like that. And so King Ahab calls the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and he says, look, Aram, the king there, we need to take back some territory. And he calls them together. Let's join together our horses, our chariots, our warriors. And so this is the story. So verse 6, we pick it up. So the king of Israel summoned the prophets, those are Ahab's yes men, about 400 of them, and asked them, should I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, and should I hold back? They all replied, yes, go right ahead. The Lord will give the king victory. But Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, asked, is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? We should ask him the same question. Now, this is very telling. Look at verse 8. The king of Israel replied to Jehoshaphat, there is one more man who could consult the Lord for us, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything but trouble for me. There must be a reason for that, wouldn't you think? His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah. Jehoshaphat replied, that's not the way a king should talk. Let's hear what he has to say. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, quick, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah. King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah dressed in their royal robes, and they were sitting on thrones at the threshing floor near the gate of Samaria. Now imagine this. The kings have got their royal robes on. It's like the NBA All-Star team, okay? There's excitement. They got the best out there. And here's what happens. All of Ahab's prophets were prophesying there in front of them. One of them, Zedekiah, son of Kenaiah, made some iron horns and proclaimed, this is what the Lord says. With these horns, you will gore the Arameans to death. And all the other prophets agreed. Yes, they said, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory. Meanwhile, the messenger who went to get Micaiah said to him, look, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them. So he's giving them some information. Look, you're going to go down there. Everybody's on board with this plan. Just say thumbs up, okay? That's what he tells them. Verse 14, but Micaiah replied, as surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say. Remember, a prophet of God was to speak accurately the message that God gave. When Micaiah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should we hold back? Micaiah replies sarcastically, yeah, go up, be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory. But the king replied sharply, how many times must I demand that you speak only the truth to me when you speak for the Lord? Then Micaiah told him, in a vision I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, their master has been killed. Send them home in peace. That's what the prophet of God had to say. Well, do you know what happened just as Micaiah had said? Just exactly as what he had told him, it happened. In fact, if you read the story, King Ahab and Jehoshaphat went out to battle. And here's what happened. Ahab, who was the senior of the two, he had the bigger as far as numbers, he told Jehoshaphat, look, you wear your king's robes so that they can identify as you king. Me, I'm just going to dress in regular soldier's clothes, okay? So we're going to go out there, and I'm going to put a disguise on, basically. And you read there that they went to battle, and a lone warrior pulled back his arrow and shot an arrow into the midst of the soldiers. And guess who it hit? King Ahab. And guess where it hit him? Between the plates of armor. seemingly random, unexpected. And Ahab went home and he died there in his chariot. The people were scattered. Happened just as they said. So he said to be a prophet, they must speak in the name of God. But also this, the things that the prophet speaks must come to pass. And this is important, important for us today. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let's take a look at what it has to say. This is an important passage regarding, because you know and I know a lot of people out there claim to speak for God. Have you ever had somebody tell you that? God told me to tell you. sometimes you and I are put under this burden that somehow it's because somebody said God said this, I'm supposed to just believe it. You know what it says in 1 John chapter 4? It says, test and see whether it's really from God or not. You and I need to be discerning. A lot of people have been fooled because somebody said God told me and God didn't tell them of the sort. Okay? So let's take a look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 18. I want to read verses 20 through 22 of Deuteronomy 18. But any prophet who falsely claims to speak in my name or who speaks in the name of another god must die. Now that's serious business. He's saying don't mess with that. But here's what he says, verse 21. You may wonder, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? If the prophet speaks to us in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared. Okay? I've heard of people say that God told them things, and I've heard people on Christian programming say, God told me this, and it didn't happen. All I can put together is God didn't tell them. They may have been wishing for it. They may have had a holy hunch. You ever get a holy hunch? You think, yeah, I think this is probably... And you find out your holy hunch wasn't so holy after all. That ever happened to you? It's happened to me. All right? So to be a prophet, if the things that the prophet predicts do not happen, you'll know that God didn't give the message. We should not rule out God speaking to people, because he does. But I will tell you, friends, the scripture is what we need to go with. I had a young man, a young believer in our church down in Dominica, who was learning about the things of God. And I remember him saying to me one day, he said, Pastor Bruce, he said, if God tells me to do something, even if the Bible says not to do it, I'm going to do that. And I said, hold on a second. I said to him, and this was just some he was a great brother, and I wanted to see him grow in the Lord. But I said, God is not in the business of contradicting himself. You and I are safer to go with Scripture. And look, friends, I hope we discovered as we take a look, God told some of these prophets to do some pretty crazy stuff, things that are out of the ordinary. So here's an important thing. Don't put God in a box. I've learned that through the years. Sometimes we want to put God in a theological box. And you know what he does? He busts out of it all the time, because he's God and he can do what he wants to do. But we do not need to pretend and prop up something and say, God told me, and find out that God didn't say a word about that. So this is a warning for us. And I guess the point of this, you and I are not obligated to just swallow when somebody says, God told me this. All I can say is this, check it out. Check it out in your Bibles. Check it out in prayer. And if it lines up with Scripture, that's a good way to go. So we know this, that prophets were chosen by God, and we know that they were to deliver God's word accurately. But here also, we know this, that prophets were not always appreciated. You know that, don't you? What did Micaiah get for his efforts? You read it says that the head prophet for Ahab's guys came over and slapped them in the face. A rebuke. Who do you think you are telling me this? Has God stopped talking to me? Basically what he said. Not only that, King Ahab arrested Micaiah, put him in prison, and said nothing but bread and water. And so we know this, that prophets were not always appreciated. Elijah was considered by King Ahab. In fact, he says this, you are nothing but a troublemaker for Israel. That's what he told. And what did Elijah say to the king? No, sir, you're the troublemaker, because you are worshiping false gods here in this land and causing God's people to go astray. Isaiah records the people's attitudes, and I think we'll look at this passage, Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 through 11. Stay with me now. We're coming to a close. I don't want to lose you here. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah is told to write this down. Now go and write down these words, write them in a book. They will stand until the end of time as a witness. By the way, that's the book I'm reading from right here, the book of Isaiah. That these people, God's people, are stubborn rebels who refuse to pay attention to the Lord's instructions. They tell their seers, stop seeing visions. They tell the prophets, don't tell us what is right. What do they tell them? Tell us nice things. Tell us lies. Forget all this gloom. Get off your narrow path. Stop telling us about your holy God, Holy One of Israel. Amos is another one of God's prophets, and he's considered by the people of his own nation to be an enemy of the people. He delivered God's message. It was a message that they didn't want to hear. I'm not going to read it, but if you want to look it up, it's Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 15. In fact, they told him, look, you're from Judah. What are you doing here in Israel? You just go back home. And they said, we don't want to hear what you got to say. This is important as well. Luke chapter 13 and verse 34. This is what Jesus had to say about the plight of the prophets, those who God would use to speak his message. Luke chapter 13 and verse 34. Jesus was talking about the people of Jerusalem, God's people, Jerusalem being their headquarters. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills what? Kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. Someone has said you need pretty thick skin to be a prophet, wouldn't you agree? It was a lonely profession and downright dangerous. Many prophets were persecuted and many were killed. Now, stay with me on this. To confront people with truth takes courage. Would you agree with that? Often, God's people don't want to hear the message from God's messengers. Don't want to hear it. Sometimes we refuse to hear the truth from God's prophets, and instead we listen to and read selectively, focusing on what seems to support our present lifestyle, ignoring the call from God to reorder our priorities. If you think about it, that's what those prophets did. Those prophets called people to remember God's promises and called on the people of God to remember the obligations that they had to not only to God, but to men. Do you know that some of those prophets, and we'll take a look at a few of them, brought a message from God to the people that said, you are abusing your fellow countrymen. You're putting them under heavy burdens. You're not paying them the wages that they worked hard for. And so the prophet speaks God's message to God's people about our obligations before our God and before the people we live with. Calling people often to repent. And here's what I would like to put out here today as I close this. Is God speaking to me through his word? Maybe it's what you hear in Sunday school class. Maybe it's what you hear from the pulpit on a weekly basis. Maybe it's a conversation that you have with another believer. Maybe it's in your own reading of your Bible, in your home. Is God speaking to you? Is that message coming to you? And like the people of God that we read about, are you going to be among the ones who say, look, don't tell us stuff we don't want to hear. Tell us nice stuff. Tell us lies. Just keep telling us those things. And we live in a culture that does not want to hear hard truth. Now, this thing of speaking truth is not a call to mean-spirited communication. It's not a call to nastiness. It's not a call to condescension. I see sometimes Christian people who are serious about truth sometimes get an attitude of condescension as if somehow they're better than the people they're speaking to. Do you know, every one of these prophets that are in here had a heart of compassion for the people they were delivering the message to, except Jonah. You remember Jonah? He wanted to see those people be done with, but God changed his mind on that. And so the Bible says this, we're to speak the truth. This is Ephesians chapter 4, but we are to speak the truth what? In love. Speaking the truth in love. And that is what our world needs to see. That's exactly what Jesus did. He came and spoke the truth, but people knew that he had genuine love for them. That's a call for us. Would you agree? All right, we're done. Let's all stand. Let's pray. And we're going to, in the weeks ahead, be tackling some of these prophets. Some names you're familiar with and some you may not be as familiar with. Hopefully by the time we get through, we'll all know a little bit more about the prophets, and we'll all be challenged with the promises of God regarding our existence and with our obligations to both God and man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for bringing truth to your people. And Lord, thank you for that very action going on in our lives today, right where we are. Please help us, Lord, to respond to it, to ask ourselves if there's something I need to change. Do I need to repent? Do I need to change direction in some area in my life? Lord, please help each of us as we consider this. We pray this in Jesus' name.